We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
First and foremost, was taking a step back, say, what are our values? What is that? Where do we go from here? And so, you know, what that meant was, yes, while from a kind of complete business 101 standpoint, we said, where are our consumers? Let's meet them where they are. Our consumers are now online. Let's meet them online. Let's find them online. And let's talk directly to them. So that was a kind of a business 101 pivot, right? And something we were doing already, but we needed to accentuate kind of that drive.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. While most people aren't crowding the bar these days, our next guest knows that the pandemic doesn't have to stop you from savoring a delicious cocktail. Jamari Pinkard is the CEO and co-founder of Hella Cocktail Company, which makes cocktail mixers and bitters that are sold online and through partner retail stores across the United States, and even offered on Delta Airline flights. We'll talk to Jamari about how the company has evolved and adapted, especially throughout this last year, and what's next for the brand. But before we get there, let me first say hello to my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Jill Dvorak. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Bill. I love when we're on together.
I do too. Jamari, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thanks for having me, Bill and Jill.
So Jamari, you've got a great story. I mean, we're talking a little bit about this beforehand. And I mean, it's being an entrepreneur today, building a company, finding a niche, taking advantage of it, and then doing something very successfully. That's what it's all about. But then there's the pandemic. But let's start at the beginning. Where did Hella Cocktail Company come from? And what was Jamari's involvement in that?
Great question. And thanks for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. Let's see. I mean, Hella Cocktail Company goes back about a decade now and started as a hobby amongst friends. Myself, Tobin Ludwig, and Eddie Simeon are my co-founders and really good friends. We have a friendship that goes back as far as 2005, and Eddie and Tobin's friendship goes back much further. In total, we've been friends for an aggregate of about 40 plus years. So long before we were probably even old enough to drink, this was something that was in the making.
How old would that be, given your age? So for me, it was 18. I mean, the legal was 18.
Yeah, no,
I'm assuming you were 21.
I was probably, yes, I was 21. Exactly.
Okay. Precisely. Just making sure.
Follow all the rules and regulations that all entrepreneurs do. And so the brand was born out of a hobby amongst friends about creating and sharing ideas and fun things and tinctures. And so back then, we didn't really like what was in kind of the bar accoutrement space when making a cocktail, kind of guys to maybe watch a game, make a homemade pizza, and then try to one-up each other making a cocktail. And the way to do that was with cocktail bitters, which is a flavorful infusion of bitters, of spices, root, and bitter fruit. And so that's a bartender's secret weapon for those that you don't know. If when you're making a cocktail, not a mixed drink, not something you need on the rocks, a cocktail is four ingredients. It usually includes the spirit, water. Ice is usually water at this, in this day and age, it used to be water, sugar of some sort, and finally bitters. And so bitters were the secret stuff that we used to kind of like concoct on the low in our apartment and mess around and trying to one-up each other, making a drink. And that hobby clearly got out of control. And so,
as some hobbies do, but you got the right one.
Right. And so for us, the company became something 2014, 2015, when we all realized that we all enjoyed sharing. And that's kind of the thread that keeps us together. Tobin is kind of our resident mixologist and super fan enthusiast of all things creative in terms of cooking and creating liquids, chemistry, concoctions. Eddie's all about visualization and really in control of how things look and feel from an emotional and aesthetic standpoint. And then I am more of the marketing and finance guy who can like put them all together and say, how do we take it from this flavorful infusion to a visualization to like in practice, right? How does it work? How does the machine move forward on repeat? And so our ability to want to share, to learn how the food and beverage system and ecosystem work was kind of what powered this hobby into a completely out of control mess.
Mari, let me ask you a question. I mean, bitters. Bitters. So bitters to me, it's like, I'm going to mess up the name. Don't. This is probably a curse word in some foreign language, but Angostino, or there's, what is that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And the fact that you can't pronounce it, you know, is we're going to leave it right there. They are an old guard brand based in Trinidad and Tobago who is the ones who kind of invented bitters.
Yeah.
They've been around for a very long time and pay respect and homage to those guys. But yeah, it's an old product that was mainly used back in the day to help the army with their tummy digestion when they were on the water. And so the kind of creator of bitters, which wasn't necessarily used for cocktails up front, was given the role of identifying and figuring out how to calm tummies for sailors. And this was their invention. Because also back then, the old folklore goes, when you were on ships, you needed a liquid that could ignite gunpowder and still be alcoholic so that you might want to drink it, wash away wounds, get if you were sick. I mean, that was gin. And so bitters and gin became the first kind of cocktail we call the pink gin, because when you hear Navy strength gin, you hear all these kind of terminologies that are thrown around. Old law, but you can combine those things to be alcoholic, still could ignite a cannon or gunpowder, but also be consumed to become your tummy. So had all these permutations that it worked well with.
I know this is going to be so totally off the subject matter, but I read an article one time, and you have a business with Delta Airlines, and it was on a Delta flight in their magazine, their in-flight magazine, and it was the history of gin, and it was the most fascinating article. I don't know why I read it, because I'm not really a gin drinker, but it talked about the fact that gin, one of the reasons people drink gin, and it's a summer drink, is because it shrinks the capillaries nearest to your skin, which allows the pores to open, which cools you off. But the side effect of that is that because it's opening and closing, if you're a gin drinker and you're doing that excessively, that's where you get the broken blood vessels in your nose and your cheeks and on your face. And that's why you have those ruddy cheeks and those big noses. Thank you, W.C. Fields. So anyway, that's a total aside. But that is fascinating about bitters, because my dad on his bar always had bitters. And I never knew, as far as I was concerned, if you just put your finger on it and taste it, it was disgusting. I mean, it was just like gross. And so why did you, focusing on bitters, a bunch of people getting together, you're there for the game, you're watching whomever, and you're like, hey, try this bitters that I just did. Is that,
I think everyone's starting point with bitters is different and unique from the team on their journey. Like Eddie was a bar back when he was a kid, and so you're tasked with like cleaning up, putting things back. You kind of know what things are, and when you can't drink when you're 18, and bitters and soda is a great non-alcoholic drink, right? So this kind of substitutes that people who don't drink now, and they've always had. So in bartender culture, bitters and soda. It's kind of like this, behind the scenes thing that you drink when you don't want to drink, when you want to pretend you're drinking, when you're pregnant. There's all kinds of reasons for it, right? And so it has folklore that goes back a long time that people may or may not know. There's a lot of people who do, which allows us to be a thriving company. An insight that we had early on was that people were buying our bitters because they didn't want to drink and dash it in soda water, right? And so insight that we had a long time ago from bar culture, but also from people in the wellness, the natural health space, have been doing it for a long time. And so that's kind of like why we actually launched the bitters and soda ready to drink recently, because we've had this dream for years about people who actually really enjoy the bitter taste of things and just needed a different vessel. To your point about it being very intense and concentrated by the dash, but the flavor itself is really, really, has a lot of depth and complexity, delicious. And so if you can spread it, through cocktails, which is why people drink it that way, or through a non-alcoholic version, it's really, really good. And so those are the kind of insights that we had, through the history of the company.
So this year, was insane for most retailers in terms of having to pivot supply chain, having to really reinvent themselves with, given, you know, coronavirus and bars shutting down, a lot of restaurants shutting down, what did it do to your business from, you know, a direct-to-consumer perspective? I know some of your names of your products, they're hysterical, and I want to know where you come up with them, but I miss brunch. Like, I saw that one, I was like, oh, add to cart. Like, I miss brunch. I also miss brunch because I have two kids and I just work all the time now, but I also miss brunch because I can't go. This, it is closed. So how, what did you guys do to kind of pivot supply chain and, you know, marketing? How did you make those pivots, and, you know, how are you doing there?
That's a great question. I mean, pre-COVID, I'd say half of our business was food service, hospitality, right? Bars, restaurants, airlines, hotels, et cetera, et cetera. And so we took a huge hit, you know, March of 2020 and thereafter. And so for us, it was about kind of taking a step back and leaning into our company values, right? It's like, let our company values dictate where we go next and what were we thinking about going and expediting that speed to kind of to market, right? And so what that meant was thinking about things that are values, diversity, giving, community, are a lot of things that we think about. And, you know, for the life of the company, we were very spotty, right? We were like, we want to give, so let's give to this silent auction over here. Let's do this charity event over here. But we didn't have a streamlined process of like, so how do we give? Right, when we think about diversity, we're like, we're diverse. We're, whether or not it's Me Too or Black Lives Matter or whatever thing that is our core values as people, we live those things out, but we didn't have a company kind of vision on how we're going to implement those things and how they come to life on a regularly scheduled basis. And so for us, first and foremost, was taking a step back, say, what are our values? What is that? Where do we go from here? And so, you know, what that meant was, yes, while from a kind of complete business 101 standpoint, we said, where are our consumers? Let's meet them where they are. Our consumers are now online. Let's meet them online. Let's find them online and let's talk directly to them. So that was a kind of a business 101 pivot, right? And something we were doing already, but we needed to accentuate kind of that drive. And so all hands on deck became like, talk to our consumers 101 on Instagram, talk to them 101 on Facebook, wherever they're talking to us, talk back to them directly, more so. Interview them, survey them, understand why they're doing what they're doing and lean in. Another way that we thought about that when we talk about the values is community, right? So for us to see customers are community and vice versa. People put different kinds of language all around them, but everyone is community. And so leaning into our community was a big thing. For example, we started a program called the Bar Chronicles. And what that was all about was paying out of work bartenders for a virtual shift on our platform to teach our audience how to make cocktails.
Wow.
Like using Hella products. And so for us, that's about our community. It's about education, but it's also about helping those who are in need that were on our journey as customers long before the pandemic and paying our way, you know, figuring out a way to pay it forward. And so giving was, okay, how do we streamline it, right? Okay, we're going to do this every week. We're going to find new bartenders across the country that are our accounts and do this every week. And now we've pivoted that and we went even deeper through that giving funnel. And now the program is about parent partnering with bartenders and their bar and their favorite charity and donating to that favorite charity that they're connected to in their community. And so how to build community, but I would call it something that we went deeper into the funnel and really had to think about how do we make a difference. That, those are kind of like the changes that we implemented and kind of, you know, we continued to dive deeper into. And I'm happy to discuss more about other changes that we've made to accentuate the brand and accentuate our community.
That's incredible. It's hard to find a way to give, to engage, to educate, to help potentially the bottom line. Like, it's hard to have that in an authentic way. And you actually did. And you're providing content and entertainment. And it's hard to do it anytime, but it was even harder to do, obviously, in COVID. Tell me a little about kind of the names and the product development and how does it get on shelf? How does it, do you test it on, you know, your site first and then go bigger? How does that, you know, how does that kind of process question. Work?
That's a great question. For our product development over the kind of lifespan of Hella, we started out as a bitters only company where we only created and manufactured and marketed bitters. And then we made crack and pour mixers like your Bloody Mary or your margarita mix you might see. And then we graduated to this bitters and soda ready to drink. And the reason I laid it out that way is because what we do, I think pretty well, or we at least try to do it pretty well, is listen to the consumer, right? What do you want? What is it that's driving you along your journey? We're all about your journey and your discovery along that the journey, and about choice. And so we want to make sure that the things that we make are premium and quality first and the most important, but secondly, that we're listening to the people who purchase us and say, what is it that you want? What do you value about us? And what can we make that makes sense? And so we definitely test out each kind of layer of productization to our online community, our direct consumers, people or accounts that really trust us. And then we figure out what works and what doesn't. And we kind of cut what doesn't work and we kind of lean into what does. But we're continually listening to our consumer, gathering data and insights, and then building community around that, right? And so that's kind of like the ecosystem that we keep driving for, into over and over again. And so we're always looking for feedback about what's working, what's not working. And then we go to test it into to food service and retail, right? Food service is always first because that's the direct consumer, our bartenders, our restaurateurs who can tell us, this works really well in these kind of cocktails, these kind of mocktails. We don't have enough, or we don't have enough recipe development. And can you help us with it? And if it doesn't work, then we know, okay, that's a heavy lift. Are the consumers giving us the same feedback? Are they like, this is amazing? I've used it in this recipe. It makes sense. Can you share it? And we'll get that kind of information. And then we move to retail, right? Because we all know that retail is a much longer tail in terms of getting it on shelf. But then we're in, whether or not it's the trade shows or whether or not it's working through the buyers in the community to try to figure out like what works for types of consumers. Our premium bitters and soda really, really work well in the natural channel spaces. While our crack and pour mixers, need less education and are probably not early adopters in terms of the consumer base. And so those are more conventional. And so we pick and choose what makes sense for the right retailer, depending on the consumer base. And we try to educate them where they are and continue to meet our consumers where they are with the right products along their journey.
You were made for retail. What is your background? How did you, like, you just spewed an entire MBA strategy. Like, how did you come to know how to do this? Like, if someone has an idea and they want to be where you are in 10, 20 years, how did you kind of...
I'm flattered. Thank you.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of retailers and I mean, an entrepreneur does it all, right? Small businesses, you're wearing every hat, but how did you get here? What's your background in terms of...
I mean, you said it, right? The entrepreneur, especially when you're small, wears every hat.
Yeah.
Fortunately enough for me, I do have a tiny background in strategy and consulting. So I understand that there's an ecosystem, right? That it exists. Yeah. Whatever the new business you get into or the new industry you get into, you know that there's some blueprint that's already kind of laid down. And the objective can either be to replicate it and figure out how to ride the wave or how to disrupt it, right? And say, okay, here's what it is right now. Here's the map. I want to jump in front of the line. So I need to do something that's completely different. And for us, We learned that ecosystem and figure out, like, for us, depending on the time, the kind of account and the season, reason, or lifetime, if we're going to skip the line or not or create disruption. And so we do that, with partnerships and education and kind of just figuring out where we fit in terms of the value chain when it makes sense. So, you just figure it out along the way too. You ask lots of questions, you lean into lots of other people and figure out their journeys. Then you kind of go backwards and try to reflect and figure out what works for you.
So Jamari, there was three of you to start the business. What does the business look now in terms of how many people do you have employed?
We're still relatively small. We're a team of six at this point.
Wow.
I'd say a core team of six, meaning that's
right.
Who's in the team. Fully loaded, we're probably 40 or 50 people. When you add manufacturing, distribution, et cetera, the people that get paid. Even if they're a third party of some sort. And so the team is large. And I think, for us, even though the ancillary team is, we manage a lot of levers and a lot of people. And so everyone's managing a handful or a dozen people in their kind of vertical, even though they're not, paid directly by Hella in terms of a W-2.
So, one thing that we find in... We're into our 200 plus episode of Retail Gets Real. And we've talked to a lot of iconic brands. We've talked to other entrepreneurs, small businesses and small communities, giant businesses and lots of communities. The one thing that we always, it just really jazzes me as being a part of this industry is the passion that people bring to this industry, the passion about what they do, who they do it with, who they do it for. And you have that passion. It's very obvious in the way that you talk about it. What inspires you? I mean, what gets when you, you know, I always think you go to bed at night, you're thinking about it, you dream about it, you wake up in the morning, you do it, and you just can't wait to get back to it again. What inspires you?
Good question, Bill. I think for me, there's a few things. Number one, it's about being able to live out your authentic values through your brand, right? Every day we get to create product, content, community, but through our values and the way we see the world. And that is something that regardless of the product is like amazing, right? And so we just happen to choose something that's fun in the cocktail journey and how, you know, it allows for lots of experiences. But being able to flex your brand values and your personal values is something that kind of gets me energized every day. I think the second thing is that we get to live richly, right? We get to pay it forward all day long, right? I get to do things like this and talk to other entrepreneurs, mentees, mentors about their journey in entrepreneurship, regardless of product. And I think living richly for me is showcasing a blueprint, how to do it, right? Especially for other minorities, people of color that don't necessarily have the fortune and access that I've been able to have throughout my career in terms of gaining and accessing people, knowledge, tools, and showing the blueprint for how it can be done when you don't come from a lot of resources. And so those two things are like why I get up every day and get it done, right? It's very simple.
As hard as this past year was for, you know, the country and individuals and families, is there anything you want to take away and go forward with, either personally or professionally, that you were able to focus on and you want to continue into the future?
I have always been very, let's just say, I believe that communities and companies need to lean more into investing in companies that are Black owned or Black led and minority owned and minority led, right? Like BIPOC, because there's a huge, you know, the space here is just like, it's completely, I'm not gonna say completely unfair, but it's unfair, right? And it's hard to enter and win in a system that is kind of rigged against you in a lot of ways. And so what I want people to understand and to practice is equitizing the space in a real true way, where investments and dollars and donations and all those things are really thought about through the lens of kind of righting wrongs.
You know, this pandemic is going to be done with eventually. No time stamp on it, but it's going to be done. What's next for Hella Cocktail Company? I mean, certainly there's been some change as a result, but it's also probably given you an opportunity to kind of assess and, as you say, lean into where those successes are. And what do you think is next for the company?
I think for us, it's about completely dialing into the things that we've already created, right? And so, like I said, we have these three kind of core lines of products, our bitters, our mixers, and our bitters and soda. And our bitters and soda right now are something that are so exciting for us. We can see that there's an exponential growth curve potential there, right? And so the fact that we're creating this white space of, we know that the idea of things that are bitter sound funny. When you think about things that are bitter, people love them, right? If you think about fruit, you think about grapefruit. If you think about salad, you think about Brussels sprouts and kale. When you think about cocktail, you think about like Aperol spritzes, right? So all these things that like sound, or, oh, bitter, oh, that doesn't sound great, people are actually driving in that space. Yeah. And so for us, we're just trying to create and own this white space of what bitter means, what bitters are, and allow people to have and try, you know, these in a different vessel, right? Yeah. In a canned, ready to drink. And so we're going to continue to lean into the bitters and sort of flavors. We've created five now, which are super delicious: grapefruit, ginger, turmeric, lemon, lime. Our dry aromatic and dry spritz, four of them have zero sugar, mm-hmm. Super delicious, and can be mixed with a cocktail or completely consumed alone. And so we're going to continue to lean into this idea that sugar is the enemy in a lot of ways, and that people really care about what they're putting in their body in a tasteful and respectful way while offering choice. And we're going to continue to lean into offering choice.
This is exciting because, well, I'm in my alcohol-free February. So you're giving me some great ideas about some things I can do. And sugar, I'll tell you, over the course of this pandemic, sugar's been a dear, dear friend that has that I must reject.
It's all about balance, right? It's all about balance.
Yeah, well, we kind of went to one extreme. Now we're going whoop, right to the other. So, Jamari, unless you've heard this you know, RGR before, Retail Gets Real before, you probably don't know it, but we have a segment of the program that we like to call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
This is where I get into trouble.
No. We're not going to let you get into trouble, but we're going to ask you some questions, and this is it's easy, and you're just going to tell us the first thing that comes to your mind. So and that might cause some problems, but we'll see. So,
especially when there's have no mind.
It's better that we're not doing this at happy hour. So yeah,
it's lucky we're in alcohol-free February. all right, Jill, start us off.
Awesome. All right, this is one of my favorites. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? And not being hungover ever is indeed a superpower. I used to pick that one in my 20s.
My superpower would be to heal.
That's good.
Ooh, that's way better.
That's so much better. And so it's so much, we need that so much right now. So Jamari, what is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink right now, can I give you two?
Yep.
Because there are daytime and a nighttime, so I'm all about occasions, right? My daytime favorite is a Bullet Bitters and Soda or a Bourbon Bitters and Soda, right? That's my daytime favorite. It's super sessionable. You can have a few of them. I feel good about them during brunch that we missed. and my nighttime is actually a Negroni with a splash of orange bitters.
Very nice.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It does. What is the one thing that is always in Jamari's refrigerator?
Oh, wow. So this is not going to be something that everyone knows, right? Like, no one's going to know this product. I have a buddy named Chris Warmoth, dear friend. We went to the University of Virginia together. And he is a hobbyist, a chef hobbyist. He makes this barbecue sauce called Big Lou's. It's incredible. And he makes it, like, so small batch that, like, it's not in stores. He only sells it online, and he only does it every so often. And when I'm on my last bottle of Big Lou's, I make a request. I call, I'm like, I need a few bottles made. If you got to make them on demand, like, do it. I don't care. But it goes on everything. It goes on my fish. It goes on my chicken. It goes on my pork chop. It goes on everything.
Really?
It goes on my shrimp. And so Big Lou's barbecue sauce that no one's ever heard of until now. Get on your horse. Make some more.
Honestly, Chris.
Is my go-to. It's always in my refrigerator.
I'm going to be looking for that. Jill, wrap us up.
Thank you so much, Jamari. So if people want to know more about Hella Cocktail, where to get it, where should they visit?
They could visit our website at hellacocktail.co or find us on our Instagram handle at hellacocktailco. Everything's there, and you can lean into us over there and figure everything else out.
Jamari, thank you so, so very much for being a part of Retail Gets Real. You've got an awesome story. You tell it incredibly well, and we can't wait to continue to follow your success. And I can't wait to try some of those bitters.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Jill and Bill.
And to Jill, thank you for co-hosting another episode of Retail Gets Real. It's great to see you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Bill. And thank you, Jamari.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. As we say during this time of a pandemic, please stay safe, be well, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, be good.